Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Shift and Happy New Year's. This is the first episode of 2021, and I was absolutely delighted to get this guest on. It's Dr. Serena Kajani. She's a hilarious storyteller and also has a PhD. And she talks a lot on her Instagram about the benefits of fiber, and she creates a lot of recipes for like healthy food. So she came on and we spoke about the benefits of a healthy diet for your relationships, for your mental health, and in turn your sex life. So yeah, we chat a bit about what food is good for your sex life. We also chatted about the effects of food on the body, and she wanted me to make a little edit, just a disclaimer up front, that when we talk about the little bugs in your body, that she said small intestine and she meant to say large intestine. But yeah, it's really interesting. I learned a lot. So it was great having her on the podcast. She also spoke about her long-term relationship and how that ended and how she dealt with a partner cheating on her. So she was very open. It was great to have her on. And we got to do it in person. So if you want to watch the video to this, it'll actually be on both of our Patreons. So my Patreon is patreon.com/theshiftpodcast, and her Patreon is patreon.com/SerenaKajani. So yeah, so if you want to go and look at that, also for the Patreon, we mentioned a little bit about the different types of food that's good for your sex life, but I will do a solo Patreon episode about specific food that helps with performance anxiety, because I just read this this article about it. So I'm going to do that and break that down. There's also a bunch of solo episodes just about like my dating life over here, stuff that I just a bit more gossipy, you know, that I don't put out on this. And I'm going to do an a recap on Bridgerton soon. So I hope you guys are watching that very steamy show. But yeah, so please sign up to the Patreon. So it'd be great, and enjoy the episode. And as usual, talk to you at the end. Yeah.
So today we have Serena Kajani, who is PhD owner.
Also from Ireland, but we both live in America. You live in DC. Mm-hmm. And so what's your PhD in?
My PhD was in translational medicine pharmacology, but that's just fancy words for basically I did it in obesity research, specifically looking at good cholesterol.
Okay, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you moved to DC, why?
Because I got a job here. I work as a postdoc, so it's basically a scientist position, and I'm working on fatty liver disease at the moment.
Okay, great. I was told that my liver is amazing.
Oh, I'm glad.
By my doctor. She said it's in the genes.
Yeah. Solid.
I don't know what that means, but I was like, that just sounds like I can drink more, so thank you. So I thought it'd be interesting. Well, firstly, I thought it'd be interesting to have you on because you're obviously Irish. You have done entertainment. You've been on Tri Channel.
I am. I'm a contributor for Tri Channel.
What exactly is Tri Channel again for the American listeners?
So Tri Channel is a YouTube channel where they get Irish people to try different things, specifically like American type things. So, or we can drink on it, and we do like American snacks. Like we did one of the shows that I did was Irish people try Trader Joe's snacks, which are phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, like, the cookies are the best.
Why don't we have Trader Joe's at home?
I don't know, but we get like Lidl and Aldi, so we can't have everything.
Yeah, that's true. we'll allow it.
For the American people, that's, you'll never have the joy. It's not here, right?
No, I think they have both, but they're just few and far between.
Yeah, we have it like every 10 stops.
Yeah, it's great.
So, okay, so we know what the Tri Channel is. And I thought it'd be interesting to have you on because of diet in relationship to sex and relationships and dating. So obviously this is a sex dating relationship podcast and we talk about other shit as well. But can diet affect your sex life?
I would like to say yes. Now, like, bear in mind, like probably disclaimer, like this isn't the area that I'm most interested in or have the most knowledge about.
Yeah.
But I do know that a good diet will always reflect best on how well you can perform, and also how well you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
So my main thing is fiber. I'm obsessed with fiber, eating well and stuff. But it's not a case of dieting like Metamucil or eating a load of prunes just to go to the bathroom. But it's more a case of having a diet that's rich in fruit, vegetables, nuts, legumes, all that kind of stuff. Stuff that's predominantly not processed. Because first off, it'll have a positive effect on your on your mental health, but then also how you feel about your body and how you feel your body's working. So I know for me that if I eat really well for a couple of weeks, I feel sexier in the bedroom. I feel like my body's doing the job that it's supposed to do. But also in terms of like how I feel mentally, I'm like, even if I'm like, if I know I'm heavier, I still feel sexy within my own skin, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
The foods that I'm eating help promote that well-being.
Yeah, well, I think that's an important... Oh, I don't know what the word is, but like separation. So let's say diet doesn't mean being skinny, and like, because there's some really unhealthy diets. What you're talking about is like a healthy diet that makes you feel better.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I think that that's what's really misconstrued in mainstream media at the moment, that if you're skinny, that means you're healthy, which is not the case at all.
Yeah, because I'm skinny because of fucking IBS.
Oh, God.
Like I'm literally... Definitely could be healthier, 100%.
But like, it's mad though, because like, I'd be a curvier girl. I know I'm a bigger girl, and... I don't mind that. And like, to be fair, we're in a society where curves are celebrated, and I thank God for that. But I know I'm not your Kate Moss. I know I'm not like a skinny small girl, but I still love my body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm really proud of my body because of what it's capable of doing. And if you don't have that mindset of like, oh, my body's able to do this, I am so gratuitous because of what it can do, then you're just going to constantly hate. Like, it just puts you in a bad mental state, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know like my sister would be like thicker than me, but she eats healthier and she does rugby and stuff like that. So she just has better muscle mass and she's happier with her body as well. So I think it's whatever is healthier. Like, so for example, like I'd be my diet would be kind of fucked up because the IBS and because I can't eat dairy. But I know that when I went to the doctor, she was like, you need to eat more protein and you need to have more vitamin D. So it's kind of like shit finding out what your body needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it is a very like individual type thing, depending on where you are at in your life. But I think based on the evidence that's out there, and where humanity is at, where we're at in terms of 2020, what foods are available to us. Like, we don't suffer in the Western world, at least, from famine anymore. If anything, we have too much food that's available to us, but it's calorie dense, but not nutrient dense.
Yeah.
And so say for the likes of you that you need more protein and more and to omit dairy, that's suitable for you. But you probably would still need the fruits and vegetables and the benefits that you get from that, so the vitamins and minerals and how they impact your body like going forward, you know what I mean?
So I'd say
like, since your doctor has said that you don't need dairy, you've made more transitions towards other foods that can contain the components that make up dairy but are not dairy.
Yeah, well, I didn't even tell her I wasn't eating dairy, so she doesn't actually probably know that. But I mean, she just did an annual physical, and the annual physicals over here are way more intensive,
mm-hmm.
or else I just never got one in Ireland. But I'm imagining that since I don't eat dairy, I am definitely probably not, I haven't purposely looked into how to replace those things that I'm missing from dairy. But even let's say like I would be naturally very skinny, but she told me that my carbohydrates, what was it? No, not carbohydrates. Cholesterol was too low, and it will affect my brain development, and I could get Alzheimer's from it in the future. So I mean, if you looked at me, you would think, oh Jesus, she looks very fit, but actually there's so many things that I need to fix in my diet. And like you said, you're not like, you're curvier, but you eat healthier, and so your body's working at its, what's that word, like maximum efficiency.
Oh, like as it's optimized.
Yeah. So I think that's an important thing to recognize with diet doesn't mean getting skinny. When we talk about it, it means whatever your body is naturally at
bring it back to that. But it's interesting about the cholesterol, how you think you're more at risk of Alzheimer's. The opposite is true, is if your cholesterol is too high,
yeah,
it can also cause Alzheimer's.
So your body's fucked anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just be healthy. It's easy.
Yeah. And being healthy, not just for to get to a certain body shape, but being healthy for getting, like, so if you have a healthy diet, it's going to help with your sleep, right?
Oh, 100%.
And it's going to help with your how you think during the day, how you feel. And then come back to sex, it's going to help with your libido.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
and that's kind of what I was looking up for researching for this before. But having a good diet, no matter what. Like, I know we were trying to look into specifics of what food helps. But really, it basically is just having a good standard healthy diet. What would you consider a good standard healthy diet, though?
I think if I was to put it like a hard and fast rule on it, it would be try to be as non-processed as possible.
Okay.
So whether you want to include, and like this has scientifically been proven for people to live as long as we do now. Like, so if you look at like people that live to up to 100 or like what the healthiest diets are, there is no hard and fast rule of what diet is the best. But the main confounding factor that implicated all of them was if it is a diet mainly based on plants, with or without meat, and water being the main component of drinking. And so once you kind of like follow that hard and fast rule, your body will do the best it can for you.
I always forget to drink water. I literally be like, Natalie Aucar, she's been on the podcast before, so listeners will know her, but I called her one of the days and I was like, I think I have COVID again. And she was like, have you drank water? And I was like, not in 5 days. And it was just dehydrated because you'd forget.
So you can survive for 30 days without food as long as you're drinking water.
Jesus.
But you cannot survive without water.
Water's amazing.
It makes
is
up
this my water I'm going to drink.
Yeah, it makes up 70% of your body, man. Like, drink your fucking water.
I know. I drink tea, though.
Yeah, that will contribute. Oh, tea is a really good
is
health
it?
Food, yes.
I drink 10 cups of tea.
Yeah, though. I've
is
seen.
It? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid that it's like bad because you're meant to wee it out.
No, well, no, you will wee out any liquid that you drink.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm like a health expert in there. I'm drinking the red. You know why I drink the red wine over like anything else? Is because the resveratrol in the red wine is meant to be anti-heart disease.
Oh yeah, an anti-inflammatory.
Anti-inflammatory.
I but kept that stored in my brain.
But in order to drink the amount of resveratrol to have those effects, you have to be drinking like 3 liters of wine a day.
Oh, okay. So.
And so drinking 3 liters of wine a day are going to completely negate any health benefits of the resveratrol. So I'm like,
it's fine.
It'll be grand.
It's good.
Moderation is key.
Don't be weighing down on too much of the science. No, that's good. So you're pro fiber.
Yes, I'm very much pro fiber.
And why is that?
So basically the reason why it started was I had to write a book chapter as part of my PhD program for heart patients. It was for clinicians to use to give to heart patients, and started looking up carbohydrate because I would have been very anti-carbohydrate. I lost a lot of weight when I was in college, like 70 pounds or so, and got really into nutrition and metabolism and everything, and like started looking at carbohydrate quality. And so fiber is the non-digestible part of carbohydrates, so you can only ever get it from carbohydrates, and severely lacking in the Western diet, in that most Americans get their protein intake, but they only 3% of Americans get the amount of fiber that they need in their diet.
When you say carbohydrates, you mean like potatoes and bread and stuff like that?
Yeah, potatoes, breads, oats, pastas.
How are they not getting loads of fiber? I feel like that's all they eat.
So interestingly enough, the way food has been processed takes out the fiber.
That's
so
mental.
Yeah, so that's why I say like if you're going to follow a hard and fast rule, try unprocessed rather than anything else.
That's a really good actual separation to make, because I'd say people probably think, oh, fiber's good, and then they go and eat like some bread, but they're probably eating American bread or even in Ireland bread from the anything in plastic. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely processed. Right. Like, as in anything that like isn't from like the grocer's aisle, like where the fruit and veg are, or anything that hasn't been like, I think a good rule is if you look at the ingredients list on a package, if it's more than 10 ingredients and you can't pronounce 5 of them.
Yeah, I can't ever pronounce any of them.
Yeah, so like just don't. Like it's probably not good. But like also at the same time, we live in an environment where all these foods are available to us. So like there's no point in like beating yourself up if you're like, oh, I just won't have a Twix today. Have your fucking Twix.
It's more just every day.
If you're consistently having a Twix every day, that's going to add up. And like the best example that I would have for that is if someone was smoking a cigarette 3 times a day, you would not be surprised if in 5 years time they got lung cancer.
Yeah.
But we don't do the same for food. Like if I'm eating this shit, basically it's completely processed foods, chemicals that we don't really know what they do to our body, in 5 years time I have some sort of disease, and they're like, well, it clearly isn't the food that you're eating. Like, what, I've been eating it for 5 fucking years. Like
no, you know, you're 100% right. And it's, I think as well, it's so hard because I think with diet's like a funny word, because I think when people think diet, they think like, again, back to what I said before, like weight loss. And this is more actually diet about extending your life expectancy.
Right, right.
Which like, in turn fits back into the podcast team, because you can't have sex if you die tomorrow.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you'll be dead.
But like, I don't like, I think we're in like such an environment where like sex positivity, and we talk about sex a lot more, and people are more open to talking about their sex life. Why wouldn't you want better sex?
Yeah.
And a key proponent of that is, first off, feeling good about your body yourself. And then secondly, actually fueling your body so that you have stamina, so you feel sexy, so you want to like perform in the bedroom. Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to promote that about your body.
Yeah, 100%. When I was looking up, so I was reading, now with the articles on my phone, were video on my phone, so I can't look at it directly, but that there were certain foods that help, and specifically was male. So like it was like zinc, vitamin C,
magnesium,
and things that have, that are in certain, that food, no wait, food that has those in it really helps with a male's libido.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so the, I think the most popular like multivitamin for lads is zinc, magnesium, and it's like ZMAs, amino acids maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but it's in order to promote like sperm vitality, I guess, but also performance. So like, yeah, if got lads that get like a bit nervous, magnesium is really important for like relaxation, and like, so if anyone has like performance anxiety, that magnesium is going to help. So there's zinc, that's why they're promoted to help you fall asleep as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's why. But like also like things like oysters and steak and all those kind of things are also known to promote sexual arousal, but the only reason they do that is because they have these amino acids or a certain like protein that will promote that. But it's not just the food in itself, it's like the whole spectrum of everything.
Is that the same for women? So the good food that's good for men, would it be the same thing that's good for women as well?
I'm not sure in terms of libido, but I know that like zinc, magnesium will be positive for women if they have cramps, or if like, do you ever get that thing where your eye starts like twitching if overtired? If you start taking a magnesium supplement, that will get rid of it.
Isn't it mad that just something as simple, but we just go our day-to-day life being like, I now have this new twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, something it wouldn't even occur to me to fucking get vitamins.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like, and if you can get your vitamins and minerals from food, so like I always think about it this way, and just as a disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't want people to be like, Dr. Serena, the PhD doctor said, oh, you should be taking this. Go to a clinician, go to your MD. This is not, I'm just saying what I know from the literature. But humans have evolved over 2 million years from the food that we had from the land. So Mother Earth gave us everything we need, not in a like kind of preachy kind of way, but like the earth has given us the tools for us to survive this long. Okay. And we've almost taken advantage of it and made it, like we've like processed it, and it's almost like we've shot ourselves in the foot in terms of we have loads of calories, but they're not actually doing anything to evolve our species. But if you think back to it, like for like, we've done so much in the last 50 years or 100 years to food that we don't know what the outcome of that's going to be years going down the line, especially for like whatever our baby's going to look like. I don't want to be eating double cheeseburgers when I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's a very tangential thing, but you know what I mean? Like, as in, if our bodies have evolved to eat things from the ground or from plants or whatever, and that's what it's best at doing, why wouldn't we do that? Because that's promoted the evolution of our species.
So when you say from the ground and you said plant-based diet, those are both the same thing, are they?
Yeah, I would
say
so.
What is a plant-based for the people like me who are like, is that less?
What is literally anything from the ground? Anything.
So you mean like nuts, tomatoes?
Yeah, vegetables,
tomatoes,
vegetables, bread that has
fruit. Oh, because it comes off a tree.
Yeah, like as in bread, whole wheat, and like they're grains.
Oh, yeah, and you would suggest, you said before, I asked you if sourdough was good. So
sourdough is actually really good for you because it's been fermented, and we've actually been doing that for millions of years. So our bodies have adapted to eating and using up fermented bread.
Yeah.
But essentially anything that doesn't really involve animals.
Yeah.
Necessarily, but like, I'm not saying animal foods are bad for you either.
Yeah.
Because we did used to eat meat back in the day, wherever that was.
But, oh, well, okay. Well, two things to say. Firstly, on a just a basic level, if you're eating well and you feel well and you feel fit, you're probably going to feel sexier. You're not going to feel bloated. So if you're eating sourdough bread instead of your processed bread, like we all know, not one person who listens to this can say normal processed bread doesn't affect me. It fucking affects all of us, and we know it, but it's just easier to go grab it. But if we all took the extra time, if this is our New Year's resolution, because this will probably come out around New Year's, and I'd love for all of the listeners who try this to let me know if A, they feel sexier, B, if any of them have performance anxiety, if it helped it after maybe like a month, we'll say like a month.
Yeah, even like 2 weeks.
Yeah, if it kind of helped a little bit with performance anxiety, I guess more in men, I guess for women, but I guess if for even for women, if you're not feeling bloated, I know my sex life improved when I got my IBS under control.
Mm.
Just because I wasn't like, fuck, I'm feeling bloated, I'm going to fart or shit here for sex. But you know, that does, it's a mental thing. What I was going to say, so that's kind of like more, we're talking more like just slight, but there is a scientific thing that we found that we briefly looked at today, and it was that there was globin. This is where you, what does it say, globin?
Globulin.
There's a globulin.
Globulin.
God, yeah. I can't fucking say it. There's a globin. And that's a sex
hormone.
Hormone.
Linked. So there's No. So it's a globulin is like, a word for a component.
Yeah.
So it's a sex hormone linked globulin. So the globulin,
like a little goblin, and it eats up your sex hormone. If we were to
say it traps your sex hormone.
Yeah, well, little fucking
little goblin that traps. Troll.
So yeah. He traps it. So certain foods help stop that guy coming in and trapping your sex hormone.
Yeah. So the thing with sex linked, sex hormone linked globulins is that they trap estradiol, which is the women's hormone,
and testosterone.
Testosterone for
Shalice testosterone. Yeah. Okay, that one.
So testosterone, and it wraps it up, and it basically makes it more. It traps it. So if there's more in your body, there'll be more of this present.
Okay,
and it should, as far as I've read, it should be giving it to. Parts of the body that need it. So if you have too high of this sex hormone linked globulin, or too low, it's bad either way.
Yeah, but if you're eating a stable healthy diet,
yeah,
that's less likely to happen.
Yeah, that's
so
a good.
It'd be very interesting with the fact that there's an increase in performance anxiety for men. Now of course I know a lot of it's in your head, but that other thing, that if you were also eating healthy, would that be, it'd be interesting to find out if that's a factor that would help towards not having performance anxiety.
Well, I think the issue is that studies that have gone into looking at diet and how that impacts health is very much directed towards cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, because they're the diseases that affect humankind right now. People aren't that concerned about erectile dysfunction. They don't care as much, which is mad because... Yeah. If you can't get it up, you're not promoting the evolution of our species.
No, and we should do it for any of the listeners. Maybe we should put out like something. Maybe I'll put out something on my Instagram for you guys to fill in. And for any of you who already feel it. And I know it's hard now with COVID, so it's not going to happen. But maybe like in the future, you know, you can fill it in, and I'll just leave it up there for like the next year or something. And maybe we'll be able to do some sort of
even like study. Off the cuff, like study. Because
it's going to be interesting to see if people find that the healthier they ate. And again, we're talking about just general sex drive and feeling sad. And again, for women as well, I wonder if it does. Because I know, yeah, I actually, I don't know, maybe I got hornier with becoming older, or maybe I got hornier after I stopped the dairy.
So you're definitely hornier now.
Well, I'm way hornier, yeah. And I had more one night stands when I wasn't hornier, but it wasn't about... it wasn't about sex then, because I didn't know I had an orgasm. It was more just about the fun of it, the thrill of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's about pleasure.
Yeah,
now
and I like know getting my body your rocks off.
Yeah, and I mean, I get wetter than I've ever gotten. Got that wop, as we said. Wait, we called it kitty. Wet ass kitty.
Yeah, wet ass kitty.
Like a wok.
But it's interesting that you say that, because so 70% of serotonin production happens in the gut. And so the reason why I'm obsessed with the fiber is that the fiber promotes good bacteria growing in your gut, and those good populations of bacteria make the serotonin.
So serotonin's your happy
hormone.
So we're just, that's amazing to know, actually. So yeah. Even for me, I feel like I have, my sanity is much better since I got my IBS under control. And IBS is generally a factor of people who have had a dodgy childhood.
Mm.
Usually have IBS. But so I wonder
which is related to the stress, and it can be manifested. I think there's like, and this is going tangent again, but like our bodies keep in check of all the trauma that we deal with. Yeah. So I was a really big kid when I was growing up. I also had a very traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
So there is no way that those two aren't connected. And the fact that I'm so obsessed with food now is obviously like an issue that I have for myself. But it's the way I show love and how I like look after people.
Yeah.
And so, yes, but going back to the point, your body does keep check on the trauma and your gut is. So, you know, they're like, I feel it in my gut.
Yeah.
Your gut knows how to tell things to your brain before your brain even realizes. So there's this thing called the vagus nerve that connects most of your body parts to your brain.
Yeah.
And whether we are not at the progression of science to tell how they talk to each other, but there's definitely a link.
Yeah.
And it's all theoretical at this stage, but like the fact that like if you feel nervous, you get butterflies, or if you fall in love, you get butterflies in your stomach. There's a reason for that before your brain even knows how to logically look after it or try to understand it. Your body's telling you what it wants.
Like my gut will always tell me the guy that I'm dating isn't right, and I'm like, let's just go on here for a few more months, let's ignore that.
Just see what happens.
That is interesting. So what are the bacterias in the, so you're saying there's like little bugs and bacterias in your stomach?
There's bugs that inhabit your small intestine, and they feed on the fiber, because back when we were eating food of the land, we didn't have all this processed food, because we only had predominantly fiber rich foods to eat. The gut bacteria in our guts evolved with us as we were going along, so they're sending messages being like, oh, this food works for us, this food doesn't work for us, this food, because we can digest it better, it means your brain can expand more.
To get straight, the little bugs are going, I hate this, and it's connecting with your brain.
The little bugs make they send out signals to your cells, and then this can connect to your brain telling you, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. So that's why if I like, and this is anecdotal, but if I eat shit food for a week, my brain's going to tell me, you look shit.
Yes.
Even though my body will not have changed that much within a week. If I eat really good for a week, I'm like, I'm the sexiest thing that's going.
No, don't care.
Yeah. Like, I have no problem. And even the words that I say to myself, like, you're a good scientist. I believe that when I'm eating well. If I'm not eating well, I'm like, you're a fucking joke. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
I love this. Again, anybody listening, please try Eat Healthy for a while and let us know if this is having a positive reinforcement. I think as well, because even once I stopped eating dairy, and for me, I stopped drinking beer and I stopped eating bread. Now I only eat sourdough. That's the only bread I eat. I definitely got more, and it could have been just growing up as well, but like, you know, and that's only been like 2 years, three years before I was doing the podcast. And I feel like I got more confident as well and more secure. Maybe there was other factors, but I just wonder if diet was a huge.
I would say it is a massive contributor to how you feel, how you're going about your life, how it actually impacts, because this is something that we do as humans 3 times a day at least, or if not 2. I don't eat breakfast, so I have a meal twice a day, and how that is not going to compound over the years. Like, say if you're putting €5 in your bank account every day, and that equated to your 3 meals, how much would you have built up? And then say you put it in a bank account with a really good interest rate. How that compounds as well. So your body's the same thing. It's keeping check of what you're eating, what you're doing all the time. And that's definitely going to impact how your body functions and how your brain works and how, like, everything. And like going back to like sex, like obviously, like as in, why do they say that women in their 30s, like they get to a stage, like obviously we've matured and stuff, but they just don't give a fuck about how their bodies look necessarily. They just want to have a good time because their brain's gotten that far. But like, would you not want to have a good time while still feeling sexy in yourself? Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I think as well, I was going to ask you something there and I'm after forgetting it because you were saying something about, what were you saying before that, before the sex pair?
The €5 going into a bank account.
No, it slipped my mind. But even back to the little buggies. So you should be really feeding them a certain amount of fiber, so that they're, what happens if they're not getting, then they're sending negative messages to you?
So what happens is, so depending on what you're eating, so say for instance I have a diet that's like predominantly plant-based, unprocessed. The good bacterial species will grow and become the most popular bugs in your gut.
Yeah, yeah.
But then if I switch over to a week later, and that it will happen as quickly as this.
Yeah.
A week later, I have a week of like unprocessed food diet or processed food diets. The bad bugs will start growing and they'll start like taking over. So it's like different populations.
And what happens if they take over?
If they take over, they can eat at your cell wall.
Jesus, it's like a war in your stomach.
Yeah, yeah, no, literally. And they can actually cause, and this is like the extreme cases of it, but they can cause gaps in your cell, in your intestinal wall. And so those bacterial species will actually go into your blood circulation and then cause inflammation. If you have inflammation, you're like low grade chronic inflammation, you're not going to be feeling horny. Like,
what's inflammation though? Where?
Oh, it's...
Like when you're feeling bloated in the face?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that. Like it's just...
You know, sometimes if you have a few beers, you're fucking bloated the next day.
Yeah, I think that's more a water thing, water retention thing, and a diuretic, and obviously you're dehydrated. But this is over a course of a while before this, like the cell wall breaking down is a thing. But low grade inflammation of the body is a common contributor to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer.
Okay, so that's actually fucking, this is really, sorry, drop me earphones. This is a very serious thing.
Yeah.
I actually remembered what I was going to say. Well, it's two things. One, do you think we're bugs in someone's stomach? Do you think the world is
What if this is like a fucking simulation? I'm just kind of like...
I'm about to walk into the wall in a second. Because for the listeners, we had one drink before this and it went straight to our head.
I'm trying to sound as scientific as I possibly can.
I'm like, we probably think we sound great. And then I listen back and be like, Jesus, that sounds like too. Because it wasn't just one drink. It was like a...
It was a really strong cocktail.
It was something bad for the bugs, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
The bugs are going, bugs are definitely walked into the walls now. But no, the other thing I was going to say, okay, so here's your argument for someone who is like, I don't have time to make good meals, because I know that. That'd be me a lot of the time. I'm like fucking trying to do, before the pandemic, trying to do podcasts. I was working two day jobs. I was running out the door. And now, lucky enough, the job I was working in, they made healthy food. But let's say they didn't. I would have probably definitely leaned on the side of grabbing something like a to-go lunch. Or so you think of people who are working like till 9 o'clock every night. It's just easier for them to grab processed. But what I'm going to say to those people, and you'll probably agree with this, is if you take that extra 10 minutes in the morning just to pre-make your lunch, make something healthy, or I don't know, extra 20 minutes, so that you even pre-make your dinner, so it's in your lunchbox. Because like my stepmom would get up in the morning, she would pre-make the dinner going out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually going to be more efficient. So instead of you working till 9, eating your fucking cup of noodles or whatever, you'd be more efficient actually just getting up 10 minutes earlier, having your lunch ready to go, and you probably wouldn't have to work till 9. You could probably leave at 8 because your
brain is working more better because you're fueling it right. Yeah, I could agree completely. And like, I think it's really hard to try and convince someone, being like, no, actually, I want to live. But like, first off, if you don't look after your health now, you're paying for medical bills later. That's just the end of it. Like, I don't want to be the type of person that has type 2 diabetes when I want to play with my grandkids. Yeah. And I'm looking after trying to put insulin into my body every 30 Jesus minutes Christ. Or risking low blood sugar. Do you know what I mean? I think when it comes to health, because we don't have to deal with these diseases immediately, it's like, you're not, if you had a heart attack tomorrow, you'd be like, oh fuck, I need to start looking after my health.
Yeah.
But it's something that happens so way down the line that you don't even consider it.
Yeah. And I think men, any of the men listening, I think you're way worse than women.
Yeah. When it comes to cardiovascular health.
Or for just getting yourself checked at the hospital. Like, I was looking into this thing, this is like a little separate, but I was looking into why male contraception hadn't come further on. And like human trials for this gel that would slip in. It's kind of like a step before a vasectomy. It's just a gel they stick in for a couple of years and then they can reverse it. They put this little acid in. But I was like, how is that ever? But then I thought about it. Guys won't even go to the doctor.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Never mind going to get contraception stuck in their balls.
Yeah, it's mad though, because like 15 years ago, my dad had a heart attack. And I remember my mom going, like, he was getting sick. And my mom was like, you're not okay. Like, you need to go to the hospital. And he was like, no, I'm fine. He got sick the third time. And my mom was like, I'm not. And like, bearing in mind, my mom was literally about to pop with my last sister. Yeah. 9 months pregnant. She had her baby 5 days later. Dad went to the hospital and he had his heart attack. And he wouldn't have gone if mom wasn't there.
No, and I wonder why is that. And it isn't men. Like, the amount of men I know have never even gotten a physical, like a yearly physical, and it's covered in their insurance. I'm like, just fucking, it's
just
free.
Just go, yeah. No, absolutely. Especially,
or
like,
never got STD tests because they're like, oh, that's grand. If it falls off, it falls. Like, they'll know then. But, like, I'm like, there's stuff inside you that you don't even know. I wish we could do a million tests here. I'm like, again, please, let me know. I think I'll put up a ton of surveys. Yeah. How many men get STD tested? I think maybe... I just think the fear is more in women. And I hope I'm not generalizing here, but I'm just going off all of the guys that I know, friends, comedians, everything, and from what they've said in stories. And I definitely know that if there has to be some survey out there that says men won't go to the doctor as much. Yeah, because there was all that stuff for testicle cancer because they were trying to promote it for November because men just won't get themselves checked.
We need to destigmatize mental health, especially around lads, because they just don't want to
and
talk
physical,
about
even just going to the fucking doctor.
Just
like,
go to the fucking doctor. Who doesn't want two fingers up the arse?
Ah, yeah, I love it. My gynecologist was like, so she does the in, and then she's like, no, you don't have to if you don't want to. Most people pass up in it, but do you want me to check the what's it called, like, up your arse?
Prostate.
Yeah.
Well, like, a lad has a prostate.
Well, I don't know what I ever had. I'd be like, check away.
I think maybe it was like a colonoscopy.
I don't know. No, a colonoscopy I got before, and they shiv.
They do a camera, right?
Ooh, that's fucking horrific.
Oh.
And for anybody who needs to get it, still get it done. It was just horrific for me because I was only 19, and you wake up at the end, so it was just a bit of a shock to be like in the room. I wasn't expecting to wake up. But other than that, it's not horrific. I was exaggerating. I shouldn't have exaggerated there.
I actually find getting my smear done or. What's it called in America?
Smear.
Is it still a smear?
Pap smear.
Yeah, I find it very invasive. Yeah. Like, I just get really overwhelmed afterwards. And I'm like, I remember the nurse like patting me, being like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, she's like, "You're doing really well."
Is it the smear or the colposcopy? The colposcopy is the one where they take the bits out of you.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten that because I haven't had any unusual cells down there yet. Yeah, touch wood, I hope I never do. But I always found it really. Yeah, like overwhelming. And we don't talk about it enough. Like, as in, women's health has definitely been put on the like back burner which is ironic because
this is
lads.
So funny because lads don't go to the doctor, but women will be more likely to go to the doctor, but we don't know about health. But I think it's more that a woman will go, now correct me if I'm wrong, a woman will go if there's like a cough or something, like if she's like coughing her guts up and she has like a chest infection. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a lad will be like, I'm crying. But I think a woman is less likely to go for. Like, we've had, like, I know my friends have had STD tests, but my friends who have had STD tests, it wasn't until I told them to get a pap smear that they were, like, well into their late 20s, maybe early 30s, where they were like, oh, no, I've never gotten a pap smear.
I think it's one of those things that humans do think that they're almost invincible, and they don't understand, especially in your early 20s and mid-20s.
It's probably the fear as well, because you're like, oh.
If you're told something, yeah. Like, I remember going for an STD check, about a year ago, and I was like, okay, look, you have to do this, it's grand, whatever, go in for it. And I remember having to call them to get my results, and I was terrified. Like, my heart just dropped, and what if I have fucking chlamydia or something? And it's like, not that I'm not usually doing unprotected sex, but like, you know, you have a moment or whatever, and you're like, what if I gave that person something? And it's condoms are like 99.7% effective and all that kind of, and as a scientist, I'm like,
you're like, that 3% can go a long way.
I'm like, I don't.
It's the median. Serena taught me what median means earlier, so now I'm going to use it in every conversation. But I think so as well. Even my friends who've gotten STD tests, they've probably gotten STD tests maybe once in their life, and only if there was the fear coming. So I do think the majority of people aren't getting STD tests, aren't getting checked, their health checked. And if you're listening to this, also please go get your fucking smear test.
Yeah, get your smear test.
And I know there's COVID, but whenever you can, go get it done because that's very important. But what I was going to say to you there was, I didn't get my first STD test until I was 25 at least, because I moved to America when I was 24, and it was at least a year into being here that I went to the Brooklyn free STD. Now, because I was just like, you know, I always thought something would pop up in your vagina if you needed to. And the only reason why I went was because I had an allergic reaction to soap. I thought I had herpes.
Oh, really?
And then my dog, she was so nice, she just laughed at me.
That's really interesting, because the first time I went for an STD check, I was probably 19. But I hadn't had sex yet. And I remember this lad that I was kissing a couple of days later after we had met up the last time. And he was like, yeah, I have this cough. And I was like, okay.
Oh, God.
And he was like, yeah, but like, I went down on you. So like, do you have anything?
Okay. Lad, stop. You were like, yeah, my vagina has a flu.
My vagina has COVID.
She's been sneezing the whole time. Yeah, you're patient zero through your badge.
And I was like, no, I haven't even had sex yet. Like, what?
And so, if you don't mind speaking about your personal life, how old were you when you had sex?
20.
20.
Yeah, it was really
Holy
late.
Shit.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
No.
I think I could have fucking waited till I was 20.
No, I kind of, like, I'm glad I did, but I also I'm kind of glad, or I'm not glad I did. The first bit, so I grew up in like a very traditional household. My parents are Muslim. They've chilled out a lot now.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, they were super strict, like kind of arranged marriage, going down that route.
Even in Ireland?
Yeah, even in Ireland.
And how did they feel about being Muslim and with those opinions in Ireland?
Didn't give a fuck. They were like, these are our rules. We don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks.
And they didn't think that the outside world wouldn't kind of
impact how their kids grew up. So that was the thing. So I'm the eldest of five kids, and I literally was like, I don't need this in my life. Like, I want my freedom, I want whatever. So I left home when I was 20, met a lad at the same time, and he was white and Catholic, and my parents just weren't happy with it at the time. Like, they've chilled out a lot more now, and it's fine. But I dated that lad for nearly 8 years, and it took 2 years for my mom to accept him and my dad 3 years. And they were both very much like, look, this is a pastime, you'll get over him, it'll be fine. And because I still was dating him, and we did date for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And like, that's the reason why I did have sex with him, because I was like, this is the lad I'm going to marry.
Wait, how long were you dating him before you had sex, if you don't mind me asking?
Like 3 weeks.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you were gonna say like a year or something.
No, but like, that's the point. Like, I was like, I'm never gonna have sex with lads and blah 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 until I get married, and then this lad comes along and I'm like, you're the one.
Yeah, but and you did last fucking 8 years.
Yeah, we did last 8 years.
And so it took your dad 3 years to get on board with it.
Yeah, he was like, all right, well, he's not a pastime, we'll see how this goes.
Isn't it interesting though, for your brothers and sisters, you kind of paved the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it probably made it more easier and accepting for them
then. Yeah, 100%. Like, my sister's current boyfriend is white, and he's lovely. And my parents absolutely adore him. My younger brother, they're literally like, do what you want. You're 17 years old. We're happy wherever you're at. And the same with my youngest sister. They're like, we accept you for who you are, wherever you're at in your life. No matter what it is, it's okay.
That's great. So they kind of grew with you, and with you being like, hey, it's like you taught them.
I suppose so, a little bit.
Yeah. She's, and so 8 years you were with your ex, and then that ended.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can. Like, it's actually such a wild story, because like, obviously having to like convince my parents that like, he's the person for me and I love him so much and everything else. And we lived together for about 7 years, and I had just finished up my PhD, like, what was it, January of last year. So 2019.
I'd say that was important for them as well, that you going through all your college kind of showed that having a relationship didn't affect any of that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, as in, when I left home at 20, my parents were very much like, do this on your own, we don't give a fuck. Like,
and you did.
Yeah, so I'd like had multiple amount of jobs, like put myself through college.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's inspirational.
Yeah, oh thanks.
No, it is because, you know, a lot of kids at 20 might not do that. They might not kind of go, you know, I know what I'm capable of, I'm willing to. And then, you know, when you still, I know your relationship didn't work out in the end, but like I said, you've probably made it a lot easier for your brothers and sisters, because they were like, okay, actually, they probably feared that you wouldn't be successful, or that he would be distracting. And it, you know, it didn't, you still were you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like, I think for me as well, is like, if I set my mind to it, I'm getting it done. It does not matter.
Yeah.
And like, it was great having him around. Like, he was great for like being my support network and being very caring for our relationship. Like, I know for the last 3 weeks of my PhD, when I was writing up my thesis and stuff, he would like stay with me in the building that I was working in and like bring me pizza or dinner. Like, he was very good that way.
Yeah.
But then I handed in January of 2019, not literally like a week later, I was getting ready for an engagement party for one of my best friends from school. And I was in my mom's house. We were having dinner with her, I was like, Mum, I'm going to go up to my apartment. I was making a cake in Mum's house. And I was like, I'm going to go get dressed in the apartment and I'll come back down. So obviously my relationship had gotten better with my parents over the years since I left, which was 10 years ago. And so this is only like a year or two ago. And Mum was like, okay, grand, I'll see you later. So went up to the apartment with, and was getting ready. And I remember specifically saying to him, like, I was like in a really nice dress and I had really nice makeup on, and I was like, how did you land a fox like me? And he was like, to be honest, Saz, I don't know. And Saz was my nickname.
Yeah.
And so my mom called me then, and she was like, where are you? And she was like, you need to come home right now. And I was like, It's kind of weird. I was like, mum, away. I had to go back to her house to collect a cake that I baked for this engagement party. And she was like, you need to come home right away and do not bring. And I was like, all right, that's kind of weird. Yeah. So I hang up the phone. And I'm like, obviously straight away, I'm like, mom doesn't want you to come with me to the house. And he was like, that's kind of strange. And I was like, yeah, it's fucking weird. We go back to the house and we're driving down and he's like, I remember, and this goes back to, I had an awful feeling in my gut.
Oh, those fucking bugs were giving you signals. They were like, oh no.
And they were, I was like, something's fucking wrong this time. I was like, dad's died.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Genuinely, like, something's gone wrong. And we were driving down the road and I was like, look, it'll be fine. We'll be done in like 15 minutes. I'm sure it's fine. It can't be something as serious as that. Dad. Yeah, I thought like, it was something really drastically wrong. And I remember saying to him, I have a bad feeling about this. And he was like, oh no, it's fine, it's fine. And so then got into the, I was like, just park somewhere and I'll go into the house, it'll be fine. And I mentioned before that we were in mom's for dinner prior. And so get into the house and my little brother opens the door and he just looks real solemn. And I see my sister's boyfriend and he looks kind of solemn. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And they're like, they're in the kitchen. So I go into the kitchen and my mom and sister are standing there. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, okay, we need you to breathe for like 10 seconds. Just calm down. Like, I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, genuinely in my heart of hearts, I was like, my dad's died. And they were like, I've been cheating on you. And I was like, what?
Okay.
What? No, no. Like, honestly, like, fell to the chair. There's no way. Like, no way.
Yeah.
This lad that I've like told my parents about, like literally fought for him, everything. Like, there's no way you cheat on me. And like, just honestly, like, shock. So then my mom is showing me these like screenshots of messages. And like, it's like, say if my sister was saying, she's like, oh, this is that friend or whatever. And I honestly, I'm like, I'm confused as fuck. I'm like, I can't read anything because my whole world has turned upside down. And so what ended up happening was mom was getting text messages from my little sister's tutor, who I hired back in September. And this tutor was sending screenshots of a conversation that her and were having. And it was, you don't teach a little girl in Sydney Parade, do you? And she was like, yeah, I do. And the conversation went on and she was like, I know that you're Serena's boyfriend. You need to stop fucking around because Serena's a nice girl. Yeah. And he was like, she doesn't know that anything, does she? And the girl was like, no, but like, stop, we need to stop this. And he was like, please don't ever say anything. I promise I'll leave you alone for good. And that was the conversation. Those screenshots were sent to my mom. So my mom had hired this woman that I had hired, like I'd found.
Yeah.
She was teaching my little sister maths. And it so happened that the same girl had to be cheating on
so me. She didn't know it was your boyfriend. She just was started, oh my God, stop, stop.
Yeah.
That's such a coincidence.
Such a coincidence.
So she's just out. He starts like dating her and then she's like, fuck, this is
Serena. So this woman, like my mom had hired her. And the only reason we got found out was because when we were at dinner prior to this happening, mom was saying, like this girl needs somewhere to stay for a couple of days. And she was asking the kids, is it okay if she stays with us? And she had a very unique name and she was ethnic as well. So if you know, Dublin is fucking tiny and it's full of white people. So if you have an ethnic name and a unique name, you're going to know who it is. And my friend Catherine was there as well. And Catherine was like, oh, only in like, because I live in like a pretty big house. And she was like, only in this house would you be able to say like, what room will we put her in? And she joked being like, I'll just put her in the West Wing. So he fully knew who this girl was. Knew exact and was texting her because the messages on the screenshots.
So he knew how close to home it was.
Yeah, he knew. And like we were driving down when I was like, I have a really bad feeling in my stomach.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even admit it then. So then after this all transpired and I actually got it, I was like, there's no fucking way that he's been cheating on me. Like, there's no way. And mom, I was like, I'm going to the engagement party. And mom and Safa were like, Serena, please don't do this. Like, you're like, this is madness.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'll be fine. I just need to know from him because I need the truth. So then I was like, pick me up. And he collects me and I get in the car and he's like, what was that about? And I was like, you know exactly what that was about. Park the car. We drive for 2 minutes in silence. And like, honestly, this will haunt me. But he parks the car, turns off the engine and is like, go for it. when he fully knew he had been caught fucking dead. And he couldn't even admit like the truth to me then. And I was just
like, he's probably like hoping it's like something else.
Yeah, and then, but like even like if it was even something else, I'd be like,
What did he say when he said it to him?
Oh, I was like, have you ever cheated on me? Like I literally was just like,
yeah.
And he was like, yeah, once. And he was like, but it was just a kiss.
Was it?
No.
I'm such a dumb cunt. I'd be like, okay, let's get married.
And I literally didn't know what I was like, I'm going to this engagement party on my own. You can fuck off. I went to the engagement party on my own, drank a load.
You went on your own?
Yeah, I went on my own.
It's your friend?
My best friend from school.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you still went. Fair play to you.
I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, you're dead right. How did you know the girl? So wait, sorry, but you got this girl for her?
Yeah, I got this
how
tutor.
How did you get her?
Oh, I put up an ad on like Gumtree or something.
Oh, so you never met?
Not really, no. Like as in, because I wasn't living at home, she was just like, she'd come on Sundays, teach Sarah maths, and then
You mean you would like put an ad out, got it for your mom?
Yeah, I like screened her,
oh
and made
my
sure.
God.
I know. What are the fucking chances?
What are the fuck? How did he meet her? How did he?
I think he met her on a night out or something. I don't know how they met.
The thing is, though, it's too close to home for there not to have been other girls.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
no,
as in,
he's getting caught with that. There's probably girls that you don't even know about on from nights out and stuff.
And the worst thing about it was he just kept lying about it. Yeah. So it was like, oh, it was just a kiss. Then I found out that there was a hotel room involved. And he was like, I haven't talked to her in ages. And then I found
when you showed him the hotel stuff, what did he say?
Oh, so he tried to lie to my face about that. I was like, was it just a kiss? And he was like, yeah, I swear it was just a kiss, looking at me. And I was like, I know about the fucking hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just kind of just looked down. Couldn't admit it, like,
gosh.
Yeah.
And like, what's the text message thing?
So he said, I was like, when was the last time you contacted her? And he was like, haven't contacted her in ages. Like, I swear, the weekend I was away with my girls because it was the last hurrah before I moved to America, he was texting her. So while I was writing my thesis for my PhD,
and he's bringing in the pizza and being all nice.
Yeah, he's still texting this girl.
I can't even. I've lost all faith.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Like I said, we were like, honestly, like, Katie. I was like, we're a couple of girls. I'm so in love with this man. I'm ready to have babies with him. I'm ready to get married. Everything. My world turned upside down on the 20th of January, 2019. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I invested so much in this guy, trying to convince my parents, everything else. And I was just like, after that, I was like, oh, fucking people surprise you.
Fair play to your one for sending those screenshots. Oh. Most people wouldn't. I don't know now. I was seeing a guy and he ended up saying that the girlfriend was an open girlfriend, but I still to this day don't think it was. And I've always thought, should I have ever fucking screenshot that message and sent it to her via Instagram? But I thought, I just don't want to get involved. I don't,
you don't.
What if it is open, then it's weird. Then I'm going to get in trouble. But then this girl, like, so unfair on her. And I just couldn't, because I wouldn't want to seem dramatic. And like, I just ended it. I was like, no, good luck. This all sounds fucking weird.
No, exactly. No, like, honestly, one of the things that I actually like, because the girl messaged me and she's like, I'm so sorry. Oh, like, I hope you don't hate me. And I was like, no, thank you for giving me this blessing, because I don't want to marry a man that's going to do that to me.
I knew a girl who was with her fella, and some girl reached out to her saying, he's cheating on you. He's cheating on me with him. Cheat on you with me. But I didn't know he had a girlfriend, and I'm after seeing it on Facebook, and I just thought, you know what, no one deserves that. And she was like, he said to her, oh, that's just some girl who's fucking jealous of me. She's like, I was doing that. And then so she was like, or maybe it was his guy friend reached out, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. No, I think, and then eventually his guy friend then confirmed it, and she was like, oh, but she was like willing to be like, oh yeah, that's just some crazy girl after messaged me.
No, like, as in,
if anybody's messaging you though,
like, why would they have the fucking, like, I know there's like people that like want to get out to hurt you, but like, why?
Yeah, it's weird
to that extent. And it's like, there were screenshots and everything else.
Oh yeah, this is like,
this is proper. And she, and like, his reaction was the worst, because he was like, oh, you've ruined both of our lives. And I'm like, honey,
he said that.
Yeah, to her. Yeah, afterwards.
She had nothing to do with it. Yeah, she was just some randomer who kissed some guy she fancied.
Yeah, and like, she just told me the truth, and I was like, thank fucking god, because like, otherwise I would be with that unevolved prick right now.
Yeah, and he's definitely done it. Like, not like, it'd be very highly unlikely that he just happened to get caught with the one person, because it happened to be the one person that's close to your family. Like, I'd be very surprised if there wasn't other people.
Oh, I would be.
Or there definitely would have been other people in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to say once a cheater, always a cheater, but like.
But you, if you get away from it and you have no guilt and he's bringing you pizza and then going out and having sex with your one.
Yeah, exactly.
Or trying to have sex or whatever went on.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was just, it was, because I remember the screenshots of him texting her, like sexting her or whatever,
yeah.
was at the same time he was texting me while I was at the on the weekend away with the girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, you texted her at the same fucking time. Fuck. Like, fuck. And
that's like some fucking sociopath.
Oh, like legit. Like as
narcissist
in.
Narcissist or something.
I'm like.
Lack of empathy anyway.
Lack of empathy. And like, not in a, like, oh, I'm the best fucking girl that you'll ever get or whatever. But it's just very much like, I did so much for you.
Yeah.
I risked my family for you.
Yeah.
And this is what you do? Like, my family fully accepted you. And like, yeah, they were a little bit like hesitant. So I get that. But like, we all grow. We all like learn. We all develop. And they put you in with open arms.
Ugh.
And to turn that back on me, to hurt me like that, like, it's just like, why would I want someone like that in my life?
Yeah, like I hope he regrets it and I hope he realizes it. But if he's a narcissist, he'll manage to justify it to himself anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of like at the stage where I'm like, do you know what? He doesn't give a fuck about me, but that's not my problem.
Yeah, and like fucking, you know, you're in America. Can I ask you a question? Did him cheating on you affect your future relationships? Did it make you more less trusting? Did it make you more likely to worry or feel insecure?
I think for right now, I'm very much in a stage of my life where if I don't have to convince someone to love me and I don't have to convince you to see how great I am.
Yeah.
So if I have a sniff of, I feel like you think I'm not worth your time, I will go.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit more cutthroat than I would have been young when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I definitely was a lot more insecure when I was younger as well. Whereas now I'm just like, I've got everything going for me. So why wouldn't someone love me?
Yeah. But I'd say this other ex-boyfriend, he did love you.
Yeah.
He just had his cake and then he ate it too. And I'd say he did appreciate it. Yeah. But if I'd say he was the type of person who could justify doing these little things.
Yeah, exactly. Just to get his rocks off or whatever, but not understanding like what that means for me. And like infidelity, you can fuck off. No,
me too. Yeah. Like, but can you, do you feel that you're able to, with a new partner, just trust them again at normal? Or do you feel a little untrusting now because of it? Or
No, I think I definitely am, like, in terms of like jealousy or whatever, I'm like, if you're gonna cheat on me, you're gonna cheat on me.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what like what this has shown me. But if you're gonna go down that route, please just tell me, because
And you do tell partners what you're doing. I think that's really important, because then that way, if it did happen again, they've no fucking like, oh, I was dumb, I was drunk or whatever.
Because
they know that you're coming in with this sort of wound.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, that's fine. If that's where you're at in your life, do not take me along for that ride, because I'm not interested. Like, I'm at a stage in my life where I do want to have a long-term partner. I want to have babies. I want to settle down. I really love being in love, and I love being obsessed.
I love love.
Yeah. Like, aww. It hasn't ruined that aspect. I think I'm just a bit more careful now. I'm like, don't make me feel like I'm not like the queen of this relationship, because I'm not here for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I think it's great for people to hear who've gone through that, like, to kind of being like, okay, this is my baggage, but I'm not going to put it on top of you.
Yeah, like my future relationships should not suffer from someone else's mistakes.
Yeah. And you were in a fucking 8-year long relationship.
Yeah, so long.
I'm happy for you that you're out of it. And then you came over here, you had some fun sexy time.
Oh, yes.
Good. Yeah, you made up for your
I made up
time.
For last time. Like, it was great. And like, it's also like fun, because like, you got to like, be like, oh, this is interesting, or like, I didn't know that this is something that would turn me on, or nothing like too weird.
I know, even like, I found that like the first time a guy started playing with my nipples, and I was like, there was probably like there was a fair amount of sexual partners in before that happened, that I was like, oh, I like this. So it's good.
I think it's funny though, because like, when you're a singleton and you're like, you have your own apartment and it's your own space and stuff, and a lad comes over and they're like, oh, I'm just going to like sleep here. And you're like, no, like, I know you just licked my butthole, but get the fuck out. Like, I do not need this in my life.
That's
right
so
now.
Funny, because I'm the opposite. I'm like, yeah, stay over, because I love cuddling and stuff. But I think the older I get, the less likely I will be to do that, actually. But actually, I usually have sex after like a third date. So it feels more, when I did have one night stands, I'm trying to think, I know, I probably, yeah, would have stayed over, had them stay over. But in the morning, it would have been a bit weird. Would have been like,
Yeah, no, they always came over to mine for some reason. It was always like a second or third date type thing. And then I'd be like, okay, bye. And they'd be like, oh, what? I'm like, yeah, get out.
See, whereas if I wait till the third date, it's because I want to date them. I'd be more likely to have a one-night stand if I didn't want to date them.
Yeah, I was in a stage where I was like, I don't want to date anybody.
Yeah, which is great. The second thing, I did have, though, a couple of one-night stands when I was in Ireland after my serious relationship where, one of them here where he, in Ireland, where he stayed so long the next day. And like, I knew his friend and I texted his friend being like, I'm downstairs clean and he still hasn't left. And then like my roommate was laughing and he was like, I'll go up and like, just make some noise. And like, he was just asleep in the bed until, and then eventually I was like, I have to go to work, you have to leave. But like, it was mental. He was just like chilling in the bed.
Oh my God. The audacity. Sorry. Like,
I know.
Get it.
I know, right? And then in Ireland as well, the, not in Ireland, sorry, in America as well, I only was kissing this guy because at that stage I was going through a thing where I didn't want to have one night stands because sex was messing with my head a little bit and I wanted a boyfriend. So I was like, okay, whoever I hang out with or whatever, I'm just going to like withhold it until I know what I want from them. Like, fair enough, I want just sex or I want a relationship, but I was at that stage where I knew I just couldn't do it when I was drunk because it just confused me a little bit.
Yeah.
And so this guy, like, we met up, we were kissing and I knew him. He was also a comedian. And I was like, and we went back to mine, but I was like, I'm not going to have sex with him just because I don't really know what I want from him yet. But he stayed over and he just never woke up. So I went off, I did my shopping and it was the same situation again.
Did he
again.
Die?
I don't know. Like, I go in and check on him, he's breathing. 5 p.m. hits and I come back in. I've been in the kitchen or I went shopping as well. I came back and then I was like, hey, we have to go. And he was like, okay. And I was like, you have to leave. So, because I think the guy in Ireland, I just left there. And I think my roommate was a guy and he was, I think he dealt with it. But I must call him and ask him what actually happened with that exactly. But this guy in America, I was like, you have to go. So at 5, we both left. And then I got a text message off. I'm like at 11 o'clock at night while I'm at work because I was working in the bar at the time. And he goes, hey, I left my keys. No, it must not have been 11. It must have been actually like more like 7 because I think it was only in work a couple hours at the stage.
Right.
And he was like, or maybe he went out and he realized, maybe he went straight out. But he was like, I left my keys in yours. I can't find them. And I was like, okay.
Is this a sleep way of like getting a second date or something?
I don't know. My friend was like, do you think he's homeless?
Oh no.
He's just looking for a place to crash. But I was like, I'm in work till like 4 or 5 a.m. tonight. So I don't know. You're going to have to like figure something out. And I have a show tomorrow night if you want to come meet me there. And then he was like, okay, fine. And he came and he got them. But it was like fucking weird.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Yeah, he was odd anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
No, he actually is like a really nice person, but like odd.
Yeah, no, I'm just not in that realm of like lads staying over for the night. I just don't like... I don't like being touched when I'm asleep unless it's a partner. Like if someone I'm really comfortable with, yeah. I'm like, no, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, it is so... I think the sleeping part is so intimate.
It's so intimate. And
if it's over at a guy's house and I'm not dating him. And again, the last few guys over the last few years I've been dating before I've had sex. But I would have left. I wouldn't have stayed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to think. Only if I'm like dating them, yes. But if it were a one night stand, I would have been gone because I don't know how to sleep. I don't feel comfortable in someone else's bed. If it's my bed, it's fine. But even then, they always stay. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. It's weird. If it's a one night stand, I think they should go home. If it's someone you want to date, stay. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, like especially so in like much. This day and age, it's like, oh, like what's the...
I want to sleep. I don't know. Someone's snoring and being smelly beside me.
And then you have to look hot in the morning and like, oh, fuck yeah. No. Like, get out.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. But then I do like cuddling. But I actually, now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking about it. All of the guys that I've been like recently slept with, they've been like 3 or 4 dates in.
Right. And then so. I assume that the guys that you want to bring home, you're like, I want to bring you home.
Yeah.
So therefore, I have no problem like cuddling you at nighttime or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas if you're going to someone else's house for a night, one night stand, you control when you can go.
Well, actually, this is so weird because so Blurry, the listeners know about, when we had sex the first night in my apartment, we'd already slept together in like a hotel and stuff because it was like around the time of COVID. I know COVID's still happening, but it was when people were allowed to go out and hang out and stuff, we started dating and we made it very clear that we were the only people we were going to be dating. It was exclusive straight away because we had dated for like on FaceTime for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first times he came over to mine and we had sex,
he got up after to leave. But we were dating like 2 months at this stage.
What, should just leave? Like?
Oh, sorry. No, we dated FaceTime 2 months. So if you don't count that, but in real life, we were dating a month at that stage. But if you count all of it, it was 3 months. Or sorry, a month and a half by the time he had sex. So, or by the time he had come over, because we'd had sex in a hotel. But so, sorry. So 3.5 months.
Yeah, of like intense being with each other.
No, a month and a half of actually seeing each other in real life, but 2 months. But I mean, long enough time.
Yeah.
And he got up to leave, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And I guess because the hotel you paid for, you stay over. And he was like, "I'm gonna go home." And I was like,
"You just leave me here?
After you, what? You just have sex with me? You just leave?" And he was like, "Yeah. No. Why should I do?" And I was like, "Stay. What are you gonna go all the way back to Brooklyn on your little fucking bike at 1 a.m.? Like, what the fuck?" And he was like, "Well, you know, it's COVID. Should I stay longer in your apartment?"
Wait, this wasn't morning sex?
No, this was like he come over, we'd had dinner, we had sex, and he got up to leave after. And I was like, "No, you stay over the night." And he was like, "Well," and he used this excuse. He's like, "I'm just worried about COVID." And I was like, "Well, how?
Were you wearing a mask while we were having sex?"
No, and we've been dating. We've been out kissing. We've been together. It doesn't make sense. Also, pal, what do you think that COVID's like? Okay, you've been here 10 hours. I'm coming to get you now. There's a limit, like a little COVID clock. No.
I know.
And then he was like, "Oh, okay." He was like, you didn't ask me to stay. And I was like, "Yeah,
I shouldn't have to ask you to stay, yeah, you bollocks.
It'd make more sense if I say leave." And I was like, "Okay, well, usually like people I'm dating, they stay over and we have breakfast the next day or whatever." And I was like, "That's really important to me. Like, and I totally understand if it's a case that you're not comfortable sleep, but then say that. Just go, hey, I'm not comfortable yet. Don't make up this COVID bullshit." Like,
yeah, go fuck yourself.
And he was like, "Okay, I'll stay over. I didn't realize." And I was like, "Whatever." And I was like, "Whatever you're comfortable with, but it does feel weird to just get up after we had sex."
Oh, like, it's absolutely, it's horrific.
Yeah,
it's
the
so
sex was not amazing. So I want you to eat me out in the morning. Like, that's why, like, and I said to him, I go, "We can't see each other that much right now because of COVID and stuff like that. Like, do you know, we were limited to not, it's just not the same as the real world and just going out to parks and stuff. And my roommate was away, so that's why we had the apartment that night." And I was like, "You should be staying and having sex with me in the morning because we should be having as much." But he also didn't have a high sex libido.
Okay.
Oh, he should fucking eat some oysters or whatever.
steak, potatoes. Protein.
Was it the protein that's good for it, or was the protein bad for it?
No, protein is good for it, but make sure it's not high in like saturated fat.
Okay, so there you go. He needs to go eat his steak, motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, our libidos were different as well. So what I would expect from a sexual relationship is much more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just about having those conversations and stuff. So he was probably just used to just leaving afterwards and like.
But I don't know. Like, I feel like if you've been dating for a while,
I know,
you'll be doing the cuddling afterwards.
I know. He was really awkward as well. He's such a nice person. Yeah. He's one of the nice guys I dated. But we just like very matter of fact, and things are black or white. And
but humans aren't black or white.
Yeah,
like,
but
we're all shades
of
gray.
He's like a Matsy brain type of guy.
Oh.
And he's not very affectionate, and I love affection. And in fairness to him, everything I said I needed, he did try to do.
Okay.
But you know, long term we just weren't compatible, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But yeah, so yeah, per blurry. We call him blurry because he was blurry on the FaceTime for a while. So I think that's it. I think we should wrap up because it's an hour and 12 minutes. Was there anything else? Okay, so everybody, eat healthy. I'll put the link to the article that I sent you that we don't know 100% how scientific it is.
Yeah.
So it's not Serena's words, but it is an interesting thing to see the different foods because it explains a bit about the zinc, magnesium, and
is that the 20 foods, not the scientific paper, the with the globulin?
It has it talks about globulin.
Oh, it does, and it links the scientific paper. I will say, just as an ending note, that the recommended amounts of fiber for women is 25 grams a day, and for men it's 39 grams a day. But don't be loading up on Metamucil or Benefiber or any of that. Like, just try and get it from a variety of plants. So plant diversity is key. And so if you kind of keep that in mind, like have like non-processed foods, that will lead you to have a healthier diet.
Yeah. And then it's going to make healthier relationships because your brain will just feel better. Tell me this. So what is, so like strawberries and fruit and shit has fiber in it?
Yeah. Strawberries, raspberries.
Carrots has fiber.
Carrots, yeah.
See, when I spinach. Think of fireberry, I just think of bread. This
no,
is amazing.
No, no, no. Spinach, potatoes.
Spinach was in the list of potatoes, by the way, was in potassium. The list for men for helping your sex drive. So no wonder all you Irish male listeners are horny little folks. That was such a hack joke. I'm sorry, but we do love potatoes.
Yeah, we do. I love potatoes.
I love potatoes. I was like, why is this only for the men? I'm horny all the time.
Lentils, beans.
Lentils. Well, yeah. I don't know now about.
You're just like, I'm not into lentils.
They're okay. Lentils and beans mess with my stomach a little bit for farting and stuff.
Okay, so if you like start eating them slowly, like have one or two tablespoons a day. No, genuinely, like you gotta.
I just can't believe I said farting. Like, I'm like, all right, Katie.
No, but we all fart and we all poop, so like, get over yourselves.
I know, I love a good poop.
We need to talk about shit a bit more. Oh, did you know that there is a fiber supplement for gay men called Pure Men, and it actually has five different sources of fiber in it, but it's used to clear out lads before they have anal sex.
Jesus, that's great.
But it has like five like different sources of fiber, and like from the ingredient list I'm like, yeah, fucking take that.
Okay,
because it has a diverse range of fiber,
and so it clears them out before they have anal sex. Does that also, that's probably also good for like keeping
your regular.
Yeah, like that's probably good for the other word, diet control, like weight control.
Yeah, so actually having a diet high in fiber can manage weight because it doesn't allow you to absorb calories. Very scientific, there is a reason for it, but basically it doesn't digest as all the foods. Because your body takes a lot more energy to digest the foods that it's not digesting, you actually don't take in those calories. So by inference, you're eating less calories.
So for anyone who's like, oh, but I love my sandwiches. Yeah, you can still fucking eat them. Just fucking switch over to brown bread or...
Yeah, have brown bread. Just make small fucking habitual changes. Like, it's not that big a deal. It's not a case of, I'm going on a diet. I went from going from keto, eating lots of meat and chicken, whatever else, to like slowly implementing more plants. And now I'm predominantly plant-based.
Yeah.
It took me 5 years to get there.
I know, but when people hear plant-based, they think like, well, if they're like me, they think, the amount of times I've heard plant-based, I've thought of like vegans. So it's really good to like be like, okay, no, it's just, well, I guess vegans are plant-based.
Vegans are plant-based, sorry. But you can be plant-based and not be and hardcore. Yeah, exactly. Good, like, I don't think people realize that you don't have to be on a diet for 3 months to be the where you want to be. Just make small change. If you want to put some chia seeds in your porridge in the morning, good, do that. Put raspberries in your porridge, fucking put porridge in some milk and leave it overnight with some peanut butter, and you have ready to go oats, like as in ready to go fiber.
Yeah, peanut butter. Why
that? Yeah, peanut butter is actually really high in fiber. It's high in fat too, but it's a good source of fiber.
Okay, so that's great now. Yeah. This is great.
Any nuts, any sort of nuts, seeds.
Never eat nuts. Except for in Oxygen 1 year where I ate so many nuts.
I was going to make like a dick joke about nuts.
No, are you sure you don't? Love a nuts. We had an ad for Manscaped, which someone messaged me and was like, that's so funny that you have an ad with Manscaped when you're like so pro pubes. And I'm like, hey, I'm pro whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah,
and
whatever you want to do.
They were giving me money. And I have no money. I'm like, yeah, use the Manscaped. But I think like I'm pro whatever you want to do, but I also trim. Yeah. I trim my pubes. And I think if a guy wants to do that, look, if you want to do that, that's great. If you don't want to do it, that's great. Whatever you're comfortable with, your partner's going to be comfortable with. But like the last guy I was seeing, he would manscape. Now, it was so funny because he manscaped like not the first time we did stuff. We couldn't have sex. And he had this gorgeous like treasure trail. And I just think that's so fucking sexy. Like I think hair is quite sexy. And so then when we were going to have sex, he was gone and there was like a little bit of stubble. And I was like, Jesus, was that for me now or for you? And he was like, oh, you know, don't women want it all gone? It's sexy. And I was like, I think hair is sexy, but it's up to you. Whatever makes you feel hot, but don't do it for me.
Yeah.
And then he stopped doing it. But then after a while, it was like getting caught in his pants.
Oh, no.
So he was like, I need to do it a little bit.
Ouch.
But he would do the ball area and for nibbling on the balls. it does help a little.
Yeah, you don't want to be coughing up like a cat.
I don't mind. I'll do it. But I mean, I became more aware of it because I was like, he maintains his area so much. But again, I told him I didn't mind. And when he wasn't maintaining it was still fine. Absolutely fine. But I can see why maybe some people might. But like, I'm never going to be fully shaven in there either. So I can't complain.
Which is really interesting because like, I love being fully waxed. Yeah. I just feel sexier in myself when I'm just like, there's nothing there. And like, I'm of Asian heritage. So we're really dark.
Yeah.
And really floofy.
Floofy?
Floofy. I just think it's a kinder word than being like you're a hairy fuck. But like, that, like whatever you're, I, for me, it's just I'm more comfortable being waxed.
Yeah, and I think whatever you start, like, I think whatever you do, you have to commit to a while to it, because anytime I've shaven it too close, my vagina feels a bit like weird.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm used to having it just trim now, and if I let it go too hairy, it's also like, what the fuck's going on? Like, because I've consistently kept it kind of trim. And I know because I let it go a bit wilder during the pandemic, and it was like, what the fuck? But if I shaved it all off, and the odd time I've gone too close, it feels like clammy or something. Right. Whereas I feel like for me, a little bit of pubes like benefit my vagina health. So I think since if you've been doing it since you're younger, your vagina has probably grown accustomed to that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like, I know that for me, whenever I get waxed, I don't have all those little bumps and stuff. People are like, that doesn't make any sense, like, you literally just got waxed. And I'm like, yeah, my body's just well used to it.
How long would a wax last for?
Like 6 weeks.
6 weeks, Jesus. And then does it have to grow back a good bit of hair before you can wax again?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it needs to be, like, there needs to be a bush there.
A bush, okay. So you,
not like full on bush, but
yeah,
like a bush.
Yeah, yeah, like a little bush. Little bush.
Little bush.
Little bush. Yeah, and like, I obviously have talked about the benefits on pubes on the podcast before. So, did I tell you about it?
Yeah, you told me briefly, and now I'm kind of like, maybe I should just start trimming.
Well, I think when you grow it back, it is going to be itchy. But if you're waxing, you're used to it growing back.
Yeah,
because a girlfriend of mine, I told her to grow it back. No, I didn't tell her to grow back. Sorry, Jesus. I was like, grow your bush back. But I was like, if you want to grow back, like, these are the benefits. And she was like, I'm kind of thinking about it. And I'm like, yeah, fucking go for it. But then she said, you didn't tell me it gets itchy. But I wouldn't really notice that because I've always. And for her, she shaved every day.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's never let it grow. So since she was like fucking whenever her pubes grew in, like 14. So it got itchy then. And I think that's the thing where it's like you have to be commit to getting past that.
What's your opinion on laser then?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so like, if a girl is going to commit to like getting laser so that she doesn't have to get waxed or shave all the time,
yeah,
what like ramifications of like pheromones and like not getting STDs as easily?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say it'd be the same as not having them.
Yeah.
I'll ask my gynecologist next time I go, but for laser, I know friends who've gotten laser, it's just more, they just didn't want pubes again. So that's it. It gets rid of it. And then the benefits of pubes are, A, it makes you... what's that called when you get wetter?
Lubricated?
Yeah, it acts as a lubricant because like when you put the shampoo in your head and you froth it up.
So what, you're like vaginal?
Your lube is frothing up a little, yeah. But you know like when you have a bit of pubes and you're using the soap in the shower, I'll always go straight to my vag. It like uses up all the and then I wash myself with my vag soap. Even though you're not meant to put soap on your vag, so before anybody shouts at me, I know that your vagina is a self-cleaning organism, but
because
your vulva,
the bacteria,
yeah, but your vulva, so that outside area, the area that has the pubes, you can wash that, so it's okay. I'm frothing the right area before anybody shouts at me. But and then for new listeners who haven't heard this, your poos talk about shit talk, your pubes are a natural barrier against bacteria, so less UTIs, and natural barrier against STDs, not all of them, but like the likes of genital herpes and genital warts. And so that kind of stops, it's like a layer. And what was the other thing as well? There was one other thing that it does that I can't fucking remember. What did I
say? Pheromones.
Oh, thank you. I knew I was trying to give science because we're hanging out with scientists. So only three of us though, because it's safe. but so the pheromones, it traps the pubes trap your pheromones in your vagina, and pheromone is a sex hormone, right? Well, what exactly does a pheromone do?
A pheromone is a chemical that is released by your body to attract the opposite sex.
Yeah, so the men are going to, when you go down there and you're sticking your head in the vag or whatever it does, the pubes keep the pheromone in, like it keeps the pheromones in there, so there's more
of it, so it's probably more of a blast.
Yeah, but also pheromones can be, I wonder, does that mean there's more of a distinct smell?
I'd say every girl smells different.
I'd say every girl smells different too.
Yeah, and I'd say lads still love it either way.
I think they do. Yeah, like lads are always amazed with me. Like I know my vagina for me smells better when I have a layer of pubes. And I don't know what that is, but again, I think it's that, it probably is just that if I shave too close, it's just like I'm not used to this, and it's too close to the fabric, and my vagina hasn't built up a wherewithal against that. And I'd say for women who've been shaving or waxing fully since they're younger, their vagina's gotten used to it, like anything. Mm-hmm. Like, so whereas mine's just like a newborn child comes out there, it's like, what the fuck? but I think you're right. I think all Because even when a guy kisses me afterwards and he's like, oh, you're okay with that? I'm like, yeah. And then they think that's sexy. And I'm like, yeah, I like the taste of me.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Fucking love your body.
Up here. Oh, I've also heard about girls dabbing. Have you heard about this? Where no. You stick your fingers in your vag, get that little pheromone, and you put it on your neck like perfume.
Stop.
And because guys, well, firstly, when they say about height, when it comes to like a innate, what's that word? Like, we're like Neanderthals. Men being taller is because, with the women being shorter, like women wanting taller men is because your pheromones come out of your head. And so a guy will be, like, is able to get the pheromones by being taller and smelling it. And so staying with the vag on your ear, the vag pheromones, you're putting your pheromones up there. And it's meant to
attract.
That is so
interesting.
It's meant to make you more attractive too, because on a chemical level.
That is, I didn't know that.
I know. We should do that one night. You come up again. We'll stick our vag juice on our neck and see post-COVID. See how many guys hit on us without vag juice, and then see how many do with vagina juice.
And then we'd be an N of two for this experiment.
Yes. An N of two. I learned about my science facts, lads. So we saw when the COVID stops, we have so many experiments to do.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
I really do want to do the...
The vag test.
Not just the vag test, but I really want to do like some sort of survey for the listeners to write in on, or even just to message or DM me how their, if they change their diet, has it affected their mental health, their sexual health, whatever.
Yeah, just do it for 2 weeks and you like,
let us know, message about us. Okay, plug your Instagram there.
Oh yeah, so my Instagram is Serena Kajani, and everything actually, like my Twitter is at Serena Kajani, and my Patreon, where I publish different recipes to have more, to include more fiber into your diet, is also Serena Kajani. And that's, oh yeah, that's me.
Yeah, go on to that. All of those links will be in the description of this episode. Also, the video for this will be on my Patreon and Serena's Patreon.
Yeah, it's going to be on my Patreon too.
As well. So sign up to both of us, which are 2021. You know, that should be your New Year's resolution. Supports.
Absolutely.
Patreons. And I love you all, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Hi everybody, thanks for listening. Please follow us, subscribe to the Patreons, be great. And yeah, just write and review if you get a chance. That'd be amazing. Or just screenshot, stick it on your Instagram, I'll reshare it. It's a great way to get people listening to the podcast. And it'll be 2 years old in January, right? Yeah, because I think me and Des, we recorded 4 episodes and then we pushed it out all together at once in February. So it's about 2 years old, so very exciting. But yeah, so love yous all. Thanks for always listening, and yeah, Happy New Year's.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.